you can put him on the phone.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you so very, very much.
All right. I'm here.
Okay, sir, can you hear me?
Yes, I am.
Can you state your full name and ADC number, sir?
My DOC number is 141395. My name is Glenn Gunder.
Thank you, sir, and good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
Good, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the three alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on October 5th, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire a lawyer to represent you at your expense. Hearing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Representing myself today.
Thank you, sir. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. You cannot see us, but we have a 5-member board today. Sitting on the bench is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. White, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and my name is Louis Quinones, and I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing.
Okay.
Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne, who will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Gunder and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes.
I do, sir.
Mr. Gunder, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision. For phase two, deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, I do. I have a quick question. Did you guys get the letter that I sent to you?
Okay, thank you. Yes, yes, it is in the packet. I just wanted to double check so that I can say that with integrity. Yes, I have your letter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so I will begin by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal ways or company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number 14 is demonstrated by a failure to change the tracking device, or pardon me, charge the tracking device in an electrical outlet for at least 2 hours each day. You are responsible for ensuring that the tracking device remains charged on or about September 2nd, 2017. Mr. Gunder, is that true or false?
It is true.
We'll give you a chance to explain it in detail. I didn't mean to cut you off, but really in the first phase or in the second phase, you will be speaking with the board in detail and you can explain. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Allegation number two, violation of condition number 13, is that I? I'll say violation of condition number 13I is demonstrated by a failure to refrain from entering any occupied residence for reasons of employment without prior authorization from your supervising officer on or about September 5th, 2017. Mr. Gunder, is that true or false?
False.
Okay, sir. An allegation number three, violation of condition number 13H, was demonstrated by your failure to refrain from viewing, purchasing, possessing any pornography, sexually stimulating material products, or entering into any adult establishment of any kind on or about September 5th, 2017. Mr. Gunder, is this true or false?
True.
Thank you, sir. Based on based on the fact that you stated false for condition number 39, we're going to take further testimony from our community corrections officer, and then we will get back to you for a few questions, Mr. Gunder. So we'll just remain on the phone. Mr. Osborne, can you Read us allegation number two.
Yes, sir. Allegation number two. On August 28th of 2017, the offender was released on TIS status and transported to the Phoenix Court office for his initial intake. During intake, the offender read, signed, and received a copy of his Arizona conditions of supervision to include a copy of the sex offender conditions form that directed the offender to not enter into any occupied residence for reason of employment without prior authorization from his supervising officer. On September 5th of 2017, approximately 14:30 hours, P.O. Phillips pulled the offender's GPS points and observed that he was not at his, that he was at an unknown residence located off of 24th Avenue and West Cocopah at approximately 14:45 hours. P.O. Phillips arrived. He observed that the offender appeared to be in 2420 West Cocopah Street, Phoenix, Arizona. The offender was sent an alert on the GPS device at approximately 14:46 hours. The offender came walking out of the house. P.O. Phillips questioned the offender as to who lived in the residence. He stated that he had just met a woman at a Coinless Laundry in the area. The offender stated that the woman, name unknown, invited him back to her residence to perform job duties. Through further questioning, the offender stated that he was brought there to check out the place and to fix some things. The offender stated, "I know it's a violation of my parole." The offender stated this because he was verbally directed for his written and signed conditions to not enter into any occupied or into occupied residences for work. The offender acknowledged that he understood the directive. The offender did not have the permission of the signed parole officer to enter into the occupied residence for the purpose of employment. Follow-up. Through further questioning of the offender and him being in an unknown residence, the offender stated that he was not in there long. Through review of the offender's GPS points, show him at the residence from 12:34 p.m. until the time he got the alert at 14:46 hours. The offender then stated, "They're all doing drugs in there." The offender stated that there were 6 to 7 people inside smoking methamphetamine. At that time, the offender was questioned whether or not he used, and the offender stated no. At that time, the offender was pat searched by P.O. Phillips with negative results. For officer safety, the defendant was then placed in handcuffs and placed in the back of the vehicle.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Mr. Gunder. What is false about that allegation, sir?
Okay. Condition 39, Mardell Phillips accuses me of being at a residence for purposes of employment. Mardell Phillips may have misunderstood what I was explaining to him during this encounter. I attempted to explain to Mardell Phillips that I went to this residence to have a talk with the owner to possibly negotiate a trade-off to reside in the residence. During the wait for the owner to get there, I noticed 6 to 7 people using methamphetamine on the property, and I wanted to do the right thing, and I wanted to notify the owner of the property that there were people on his or her property using illicit substances on his or her property, and they were not working on his or her property as to what my understanding was. They were only using the property to commit crimes and use illicit substances there. During my wait outside the residence, Mardell Phillips then activated my monitor to contact him, and I proceeded to call the number he provided me with, and it went to voicemail. And when I went to hang up the phone so I could call again until he answered, there was an incoming call, and I answered the phone and walked up to the front of the residence to find Mardell Phillips sitting in his car asking where I was located. And I told him, "I'm walking up to your car behind you." He then exited the car and said, "What the hell are you doing at this residence? Do you know that there are kids here?" And I said, "No, there isn't." "Mardell, then, what are you doing here?" I said, "Just waiting to talk to the landlord so I could possibly do some work for rent." And he goes, "You know, you can't be at a residence for purposes of employment." I said, "I know, Mardell, I told you." And then he told me not to move and asked if there was anything sharp on me that would poke or cut him. And I told him no. He proceeded to pat search me while I was pat searched. He ran his hand under
my
penis and my scrotum at the same time. He running his hand back and forth.
Mr. Gunder?
My anus and butt crack 2 times with an open hand.
Okay, Mr. Gunder? I'm not going to dismiss what you're saying, and we certainly have the same detailed account in your letter, but for the purposes of the hearing protocol, we're going to move past phase one. You'll have a chance to discuss more with the board in detail, but we're going to move through phase one to phase two, and again, during that phase, you can speak to us in detail regarding the allegations. For now...
Okay, well...
Sir...
No. My question is, I understand what's going on here, but at the same time, I'm not sure exactly what's going on with the... Okay, so allegation one, if there was discrepancies in it, do I say that it was false? If there was discrepancies in three, do I say that also was false?
Well, sir... We asked you about the three different allegations. You said true to the allegation one and three. You said number two was false, and we took further information from the Department of Corrections.
Okay.
You responded to that, and now we're going to move through phase one, and we will continue with the hearing.
Well, could I go ahead and say allegation one and two are false?
So you've already told us they're true. We're going to move through phase one, and then you'll have a chance to speak with the board in detail for the second phase. And you're reminded that the second phase is the crucial phase in which we decide whether or not your supervision is going to be continued or revoked. And you will have a chance to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Based on Mr. Gunder's admissions for allegations one and three, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections and the information in the warrant. And regarding allegation two, based on the information provided in the warrant as well as follow-up by the Department of Corrections. One second. I'm going to do the whole language. Based on that information, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Let's agree.
Okay, Mr. Gunder, now we're going to move in through to the crucial second phase of the hearing. During this phase, we'll determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Osborne, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional information, and we will come back to you momentarily. If you'll just remain on the phone, Mr. Gunder, we will come back to you shortly with questions. Okay, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Gunder was released from DOC custody on August 28th of 2017. He was arrested on September 5th of 2017. By electronic monitoring unit in the field on a tech violation, and was returned back to our custody that same day with zero abscond days, with a community supervision end date of May 29th of 2018. Current conviction 2013, sexual conduct with a minor, 5 years. Prior convictions 1998, sexual conduct with a minor, 15 years, and 2003, promoting prison contraband, 9 months. He's had two terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 4-4, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 3. There is no SGG or game information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2012, TIS completion, 30 days. He has a significant disciplinary history with promoting prison contraband, possession of drugs, manufacturing intoxicating substance, and fights noted. Other arrests, 1996, child molestation, Arkansas felony conviction probation, and 1997 child molestation, Arizona probation revoked. He has a community risk score of G4, B5, and he's a level 3 registrable notifiable sex offender with DCAC cited in court documents. His victim was 13-year-old and 15-year-old.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Okay, Mr. Gunder, I'm going to go through a quick review of your case supervision summary. You were released from the Department of Corrections with the agreement to reside transit near 16th Street in Buckeye. You were provided with multiple referrals to include residence options such as halfway houses and shelters. You requested to remain transient. Regarding work, you referred to the Maricopa Skills Center. Sir, were you able to find work when you were under community supervision status?
I was actually waiting for my health card to go through, and I just recently received that. But I did have two places to go to, was Trentwood and Red Rock Herd. And I had the information to go over there, and they were hiring at that time. And when I was at the DES office down South Phoenix, I had gone to the skill center there just to look around and see what kind of jobs they had. My understanding that there was approximately about 2,200 jobs available at the moment, so job issue was not a problem. But I was actually waiting for my access card to kick in so that I could start working in case of injury, so that I wouldn't be denied any medical treatment if I got injured at work. So I just waited for that, and at that time I was only out for about 6 days, and I also wanted to get all my affairs straight so that I can start my work progress while I was out there, but I didn't get that chance. So no, I don't have a job right now, but I was in the process of waiting for the access card to come through, and I actually have that in my possession right now. I mean, at my facility.
Well, it's good that you prepared, at least done some preparation for returning to the workforce. We commend you for that. It looks like that you had a full year to submit a urine sample for testing. Did you want to talk about that?
What happened?
I'm sorry, did you have something else you wanted to share about that?
Yes, on the day after I had been released, I hadn't been able to acquire a phone. So the very next day, on the 30th, I acquired a phone, and that's when it says on the sanctions when I got pulled over by P.O. Phillips and S.P.O. Pereira, and they breathalyzed me, and they hadn't mentioned it, but I blew a .00, and then later on that day, on the 30th, I had a negative result on the drugs because I was clean.
Okay, sir.
So it's because I didn't have a phone, and I was in the process of buying one, and the very next day I had gotten one, and I made my best efforts to try to follow up on that. And ever since I had my phone, I was calling every day and making sure I went to go provide a sample for a task.
Okay, Mr. Gunder, we're going to get a phone call in here into the hearing with your parole officer. If you'll just give us a moment, and then we will continue with the hearing.
Yes, Officer Phillips?
Yes.
This is the Arizona Board of Executive Quincy. We understand that you wish to participate in the hearing of Mr. Dutta. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, just hold on.
I'm sorry. Let me go another one.
Okay, both of you on, please go ahead, sir.
Okay, pardon me. Back to you, Mr. Gunder. We're going to continue with our hearing. Officer Phillips is on the telephone. Is that correct, Mr. Phillips?
Correct, yes.
When we're done speaking with Mr. Gunder, we will ask you, I'll read you in, and then we'll ask if you have anything that you have to offer to the board. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Mr. Gunder, back to you. At this point, I don't have a lot more questions. Most of what relates to this warrant has to do with the electrical outlet violation. I recognize that you stated false on allegation number two. And then we do have information in the in the revocation package with some specific imagery that relates to pornography. You had stated earlier that it sounded like you were retracting your position on allegation number three. Why were you retracting that position?
No, no, not on allegation number three. It was allegation one.
And what was that about, sir?
Well, here's the real time situation from what happened. On the GPS points page, it says that the violation started at 10:49 a.m. and it was cleared at 7:10:49 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, and then it was cleared on the same day, 7:14:25 a.m. So that was opposed to the 11 minutes that he said that it was dead. It shows only 3 minutes and 36 seconds. But my monitor itself was actually blinking red when I made it over there to the Burger King, and indicating that the single light was blinking red and low on charge. So I had enough time to pack up my stuff over there where I was assigned to the street corner. And I was able to make it over there to the Burger King within about like 10 minutes or so. And during that time I was going over there to the Burger King, the ankle monitor vibrated one more time. And when I got there and plugged it in, it vibrated one more time, indicating that the monitor was connected and receiving a charge. So that's really what happened. And I didn't think that it was completely dead and that I was really in a violation of that allegation, because it says that the battery was dead approximately for 11 minutes, but it was no less than 4 minutes. It was less than 4 minutes. So
okay.
I didn't even know that the thing had died, because it was still blinking red on my monitor, so I assumed that it was still working.
Thank you, Mr. Gundy. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, you stated that you had just gotten your cell phone. Did I hear you correct on that?
Did I just what?
You had just recently gotten your cell phone.
Yes.
Do you know what day it was that you got your cell phone, sir?
On the 30th.
On the 30th you got your cell phone?
It was either the 30th or the 29th, later on in the afternoon.
Okay, all right. My other question, sir, was the Burger King the only place that you could go and charge your phone? How does that work?
When I make it over there, well, what it is I was homeless, so I didn't have an outlet to go to. Whenever the ankle monitor starts vibrating, indicating that the battery is dying, it's my responsibility to go find an outlet at any place that there's an outlet and ask the managers if it's all right if I could plug in the wall so that I don't get a violation of my parole.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Any further questions by board members? Okay, Mr. Osborne, I'm going to just ask a quick question, and this is one of those learning moments for me as an individual board member. When we have an individual before this board that attaches a letter that is somewhat accusatory, this is not what this board exists for. So if a letter is accusatory, is it referred to some sort of internal...
Not at all, sir. That's why I wanted to get a hold of the parole, to get him on the phone.
Yes.
To get his side of the statement also.
Absolutely. And certainly I'm not on the offensive, if you will. I just wanted to know what the protocol was, because that's not our role here as the board.
Yes, sir. And I have not seen the letters.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. That being stated, Officer Phillips. Officer Phillips.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yes, Officer Phillips is on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, I just want to make sure that I'm coming through clear. I'm going to swear you in.
Yeah.
before you give testimony. So, Officer Phillips, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do.
Okay, and is there anything that you would like to share with the board? And then I will ask the board members if they have any questions for you.
Around this time, I'm currently pulling up his 3M violation, so I want to touch exactly on the time frame that he's talking about with his GPS device that has died. So just give me a couple of minutes, and then I will go and pull these reports up to you guys.
Okay, sir. I will. Being as that you are doing that, Officer Phillips, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any further questions for Mr. Gunder, so as to not waste our time. Officer Phillips, do you need to be left alone to do that, or can you answer any questions right now?
I'm going to be left alone to pull these up here real quick here.
I'm sorry, what was that, sir?
I'm going to be left alone, it's fine. No questions at this point.
Okay, I will ask you this question, and it's out of a curiosity, because I will reiterate that this board is not an internal inquiry for complaints by inmates, but are you aware of the letter that he wrote?
I am not, no.
Well, he wrote a letter that was very accusatory of the behavior of his parole officers, and I guess my question is, if you have a parolee that is writing some sort of accusatory letter to provide to the Board of Executive Clemency, and again, we're not an internal inquiry function, did those letters get forwarded to your office, or how does that work? Complaints, I guess, is what I'm asking about.
Well, I'm trying to understand the question here. So he wrote a complaint?
Well, I'm not sure if he wrote a complaint. I'll ask him in a second, but he did write a letter to us in which he was very critical of the behavior of his parole officers.
I believe I was professional at all times with him. He did have some significant violations while he was on parole, so we addressed them. And, you know, it is unfortunate that they did result in him being returned to custody. But, you know, I believe that I was very professional with the offender at all times.
Thank you for saying that. And I guess it was kind of hard for me to find the words here. I'm not really putting the spotlight on you. I was just asking about what is the protocol like. If they're complaining about a parole officer, if he wrote a letter, would it go to your supervisor, to some sort of internal affairs function, or?
I'm not 100% sure. Actually, I have my supervisor here. I can ask him, just what the protocol is on.
You know what? I don't want to belabor this, sir. I really do need to stick to the warrant in hand. It was more of a curiosity because Mr. Gunder was very pointed in his letter. That's
so
all I'm saying.
He was writing a letter to the CO3 in the prison, from my understanding.
Okay, thank you, sir. That was really my only question. Any questions from the board? Okay, thank you. And we're just waiting for you, Mr. Officer Phillips.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, on his battery, actually, it did die on 9-3 at 7:10 a.m.
Yes, sir.
And then he had plugged in at 7:14. And then he didn't charge it the day before that for the 24 hours.
Thank you, Officer Phillips. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you that pertain to this. Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Yes, Mr. Phillips, is it true they're supposed to charge it for 2 hours in every 24-hour period?
Well, his condition says he has to charge that every single day for 2 hours minimum. And then on... So he stopped charging it on 9-1 at 4:22 p.m.
Right.
And then he never charged it until 9-3 at 7:14 that morning.
Right.
So he missed the whole day of charging that device.
Okay, so that would be a violation of
yes,
the conditions,
sir.
As I understand it.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further questions from board members? Okay, Mr. Gunder, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you'd like to make to the board? We only ask that you don't repeat yourself in the interest of time management. This is your hearing, so is there anything else that you would like to share with the board?
I guess really, you guys already read my letter, so I can only assume that you know my sentiments of how I feel about this. I already have planned out a plan of action if I do get out, if I am blessed with this chance to get free again. My only concern is that, you know, I had some property that was never recorded from P.O. Phillips. According to policy, I guess it's 909 form. 4P form for my property that was never given to me, and according to policy 1003.05.1.4.6, it says all items taken from the offender shall be placed in a manila envelope marked with the name and number of the offender, and the items shall be inventoried on the inmate property inventory form 909-4P, and a copy shall be given to the inmate, and a copy shall be affixed to the envelope. I never received any of that. And my question would be, is that if I don't get reinstated, could I have somebody pick up this property?
Mr. Gunder, I'm going to say, as a board member of the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, this is not our function as a clemency board. Please bring this up with your CO3. I'm sure that there is some sort of mechanism for complaints to take through the Department of Corrections chain, but certainly that's not what we're here for today.
Okay, well, I apologize for not knowing that. It's something new to me. This is my first time in front of a board, so...
Well, no, you don't have to apologize. All I'm saying is that we have a pretty specific function here today, and that's why I asked some of the questions in between.
Just
for a greater understanding.
I have done extensive planning on my end to search job histories and everything, and my plan is to get off the streets and definitely have a job within the next, within 3 to 4 days of being released. So, I have everything else in line. I have done everything that I could. I got everything in line that I need to get in line to start working. So that was really my main concern before I had started working, is to have my health card before I start a job and injure myself. So if there was a possibility.
Thank you, Mr. Gunder. The board's going into discussion now. It may sound like we're discussing the case with you, especially because you cannot see us, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes and make a decision as to whether or not to continue your community supervision or to revoke. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we're going to have a discussion, we'll vote, and we'll come back to you shortly. Thank you, Mr. Gunder.
Okay, thank you.
Fellow board members, I think that as one voting board member, that this case is somewhat straightforward, in as much that it seems pretty clear that he failed to charge his tracking device, that he was in possession. By his failure to refrain from viewing, purchasing, possessing any pornography, sexually stimulating material products, or entering into an establishment, an adult establishment of any kind. There's the business of his reporting false on condition 3I. But I think the fact remains that he was well-tracked. He did go into an establishment, and there was a discussion between him and his parole officer. Based on the totality of everything in the case file, I am not finding Mr. Gunder suitable for return to community supervision, but I am certainly open to the input of my fellow board members, and that's where I'd like to begin the discussion, especially if there's some point of clarity that I might be missing. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I want to say that I agree. I do have some questions about the phone being charged and the responsibility that he was homeless and how he has to get that phone charged. And kind of, but I do understand that he admits that he's supposed to get it charged. However, he stated that he got his phone on the 30th or maybe the 29th of August, and he had his phone for less than a week before he had already started to get on the porn site, which is a violation of his phone. And based on that information that he was on that phone, he did obtain pornographic material on the 5th, which is less than a week that he actually had the phone. So I'm in agreement that I'm not supportive of his, that he definitely was in violation of his supervision and that he should be revoked.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further information? I'm sorry, any further discussion?
Agree.
Long day.
I agree.
Thank you. Mr. Neal?
I agree.
Thank you. Ms. Rittenhouse?
Yes, I agree.
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion then, and that is based on the information provided in warrant number 2017W3077. A discussion with Mr. Gunder, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke the community supervision as Mr. Gunder was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, inasmuch as that he failed to maintain the charging service of his phone and was in possession of sexually stimulating material, etc. And had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Gunder, your supervision has been revoked and you'll be released on or about May 29th, 2018, which is approximately 7 months away. We do encourage you to take advantage of the remainder of your prison sentence to pursue any programming, and as you stated already, put together a plan for your safe return to the community. We do wish you success. If there are no glitches and you're released on May 29, 2018, we wish you success in your return to the community, and we certainly hope to never see you again before this board. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And if you could, please give your phone to the CO3, sir.
Sure.